97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. It has been a busy weekend that will leave us with many, many storylines to discuss today and to debate on this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And the 6 a.m. sponsor for the John Kincaid Show is our friend at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White, here for the pro. And as we get started today, I'm sure Saturday morning you read a column by Jeff McClain. A really sort of like an investigative piece. It felt like a 2020 2-hour segment rolled up in an investigative 60 minutes, you know, deep dive on a very bad picture of Carson Wentz. A picture that people denied the existence of 2 years ago. Joe Santoliquido wrote a piece 2 years ago tomorrow that appeared in the Philly Voice that depicted Carson Wentz as a brewing problem in the Philadelphia Eagles organization and locker room. So I pulled up the Joe Santoliquido piece from 2 years ago, and I read the Jeff McClain piece right next to it. Santoliquido got trashed. Jeff McClain now getting praised for great investigative journalism, when in reality, this is a story that has been around for 2 years. And Jeff, yes, I loved the piece. It was absolutely well done and well sourced. Many players, fans, and media alike thought 2 years ago that the Philly Voice had done a hatchet job. And they fell all over themselves attacking the writer, denying the facts of the piece or the opinions that were offered in the piece, and felt that it was untrue. Read the two pieces again. Go read that piece from 2 years ago and read Jeff McClain's piece. It's the same song, different verse. Wentz has been a problem for a while. It's just that now more people are willing to talk about it and acknowledge it. His enablers have done every attempt to cover for him. Like a good mob boss, they've got a cleaner. Hoping, I guess, that things would turn around. They haven't. It's time to realize this is something that nobody wants to be true, but it's the biggest problem facing this franchise moving forward. And that's where we begin this Monday edition of the John Kincaid Show. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan in the house, the coach Eric Camille in. He had a wrong way driver this morning on the Schuylkill.
Not a good way to start the day.
That's really scary.
I've seen that happen before. It's terrifying. Because you assume the person's under the influence.
Do you stop? Do you pull over? When you see it, or
I think I went towards the shoulder a little bit.
I think that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah, get out of the way and hope to God everybody else does. I mean, what can you do? You can't turn around and go the wrong way yourself.
I love that you just said that. You led exactly where I wanted to lead you into. You're good. You're saying, you know, what else do you do?
If so-and-so jumped off a cliff, would you follow?
The Philadelphia Eagles right now are facing a disaster. But the first opinion I needed, Bob, was yours. You've lived this life. You've lived the McClain Santoliquido life. You've done that job. Joe, now I will also put it out there so everybody knows. Joe and I met each other at the age of 13. I've known Joe his whole life. Well, his whole adult life. He was trashed for writing those things. He was trashed. He was trashed by media peers.
Oh, yeah.
Who said it was a lie.
He got death threats.
He got death threats. His home was vandalized.
Yeah.
You've done this job. Go read Jeff McClain's piece. Go read Joe Santoliquido's piece. And by the way, if you were one of the jabronis that was attacking this man, take 2 seconds to apologize. Because you were the one who had it wrong. You're the one who had it wrong.
Yeah, the attacks were varied, making stuff like, and we can go back and listen to the tape. We were working at this radio station at the time. Jamie and I were working together. I don't think Joe did a very good job of reporting on that story. Okay. And I've talked to Joe about it, and he agreed.
You mean the sourcing? Jeff McClain's.
He didn't seem much more substantive,
meaty.
Look, Joe may have. My problem with Joe was, it sounded like a couple of girls complaining in the locker room, and you wrote a big story about it. there wasn't, he didn't ask Carson Wentz for any comment on it, or Doug Peterson, or the Eagles. And Joe said that was his fault. That was the problem I had with the story, because it sounded like it came from three or four disgruntled players and things like that. So I thought, wow, that's how you begin to investigate a story. I didn't think it was the right time to write it because I didn't think he had enough to write it. As this has grown now and it seems to have become a problem, yeah, all right, very good. You know, maybe he did see something there that others didn't see. And now Jeff, a few years later, took it even further. Maybe, perhaps, I don't know, probably not, but maybe this story could have been written 2 years ago. What'd you say it was 2 years ago that Joe wrote the story?
2 years ago tomorrow.
Yeah. So that was my only complaint. Was it surprising at the time? Yeah, because everybody thought Carson Wentz was the next coming of God.
Jeff's piece was extremely well done.
Yes.
That was extremely well done on Saturday.
Yeah.
But how troubling is that when you read that piece as an Eagles fan? How troubling is it to you, Jamie?
It's disaster. I mean, this is now 3 years in a row. They've strung this, you know, there was the Joe thing 2 years ago. There was Josina Anderson stuff in the middle. And now this, clearly Carson Wentz isn't unconditionally loved in that locker room. And that's a problem as the highest paid player of the team. And the fact that people keep running out to the media. One of the biggest problems they have going on down there is the amount of loose lips in that building. I've never seen anything like it. It's unbelievable the amount of people that talk and spill to the media from the NovaCare Center.
I love the fact that when an organization can circle the wagons and keep things in-house, and Pat, it appears that, as Jamie was just pointing out, the Eagles are a lot of leaks.
Oh,
I'm surprised
yeah.
it doesn't sink the ship.
It's
honestly.
It's like Watergate. It was a damning piece, and I think to Jamie's point, we've heard inklings of this before, so we're not all that surprised because these leaks have been, you know, coming for the last couple of years in that Joe Santoliquino piece, now in this, that it hits you and you're like, that's a bad look, but none of it was surprising because we've heard, you know, little bits and pieces of it before.
I think what you said, Bob, is true. And I know Joe's, but the problem is I know Joe's character.
I've known Joe for 25 years.
And I had a real problem with people in the media trashing him. Now, your criticism, I think, valid. When I see the McClain piece, there is much more meat on the bone.
Yeah.
There's much more meat on the bone. But to attack media members, like, he made stuff up, he threw it around.
Nah.
It has been vindicated that, first of all, nobody's looking to throw a 25-year career away.
No.
Today I'm going to decide to write the smear piece on Adam Joseph.
Yeah.
Everybody at Channel 6 doesn't like Adam. No, everybody loves
Adam. Everybody loves Adam.
Everybody in our houses loves Adam,
I love
too.
Adam.
Yeah, we all love Adam,
yeah.
too.
I don't really remember specifically what... I can only speak for myself, and I remember exactly what I thought, and I talked to Joe
sure.
the next day about it. But for media members to discredit what he did would, in my eyes, be very unprofessional, and I'd be shocked if they did. Questioning him...
Oh,
whoa.
Oh,
I heard it on... By the way, I heard it on this radio station, and I heard it on the other radio station here in town. I listened on the app. I listened intently to that story, and it happened. He was trashed on both radio stations by various professionals, and I use the term loosely... When you do behavior like that, you're not being professional.
Right. I agree with that.
Now, I heard on both radio stations people trashing his reputation.
Yeah, all right. So you went radio stations. And I hate to say this. In my mind, when I think of media, and I'm being honest.
Okay, that's fine.
When I think of media, I don't think of radio personalities. I really don't.
We're not journalists.
I'm not saying that, and I'm not going to split hairs over that. And I don't want to sound like a snot or anything like that. But honest to God, like even when you just said it 4 minutes ago, media members trashing, I was thinking of other guys, beat writers or guys. I really wasn't thinking of radio personalities. I think we give our opinions and all that. Oftentimes without facts, right?
Sure.
We give our opinions without talking
opinion,
about.
Right.
A lot of times when you're writing a column, yes, it's your opinion, but it's heavily influenced upon the players, the coaches, everybody that you talk to. So that's where I differentiate, you know, the two, and that's what I was saying. But media members, I would be surprised if fellow people in the locker room, I don't remember it, and maybe I'm wrong, said, oh, no, he's making stuff up.
Yeah,
that never comes into my mind when someone writes a story.
Yeah, that is important as we start this show out, you know, as far as understanding everything. When I say media, we are not journalists.
Oh, God, no.
I get asked all the time, well, you're a journalist.
No.
I say, no, I'm not.
No.
I'm not a journalist.
No.
I don't have to. Now, I do work hard to try to create relationships to source stories so sure. I can have an informed opinion.
Sure.
But I'm not a journalist.
No, not at all.
By any stretch of the imagination.
Nor do I want to be.
I don't want to be either.
Yeah.
I don't want to be either. It's not something that I aspire to be.
It's not fun. No, it's not. Not a lot of fun when you work hard on a story and then you have to answer for it and people think to this point of it's a hack piece and all that.
Right.
That's not a blast.
I want to know why, though. Why was Carson Wentz given the absolute benefit of the doubt?
Because we still thought he was 2017 Carson.
No, but the personality.
So we blinded ourselves.
Personality-wise, why was he given the complete benefit of the doubt? Because it obviously was. If you were attacking a story 2 years ago saying, that couldn't be Carson Wentz. No way could that be Carson. He is, he's the golden child.
Yeah. He was Simba. I'm not kidding you.
He was
brought in and he was held up to the light and an array of light shone upon him. Exactly. But he was brought in with such fanfare. And, yes. and look, it was fanned yes. by the organization. Saying how great this guy. There's been very few athletes. Lindros kind of comes to mind that have come into town, had expectations like they did, and an organization went overboard to say how great somebody was.
Yeah, and this, by the way, was the first piece that we had heard that
where
he
this
wasn't.
Come up.
Yeah, exactly.
And does this, the one thing I'm going to ask you is about this, and it's something that I want to revisit throughout the course of the show today. And you can share your thoughts on it at 610-632-0975. Does this city have a lot of guys that come in like Simba? They don't leave that way.
They go out like Scar.
Ben Simmons?
Yeah, very good. Holy. I mean, seriously, a lot of guys that come in like Simba leave like Scar. That's
yeah.
a great analogy.
Yeah.
Who did you just say?
I said Ben Simmons potentially is on that track.
A number one pick? You know,
yeah, I mean,
pick and,
we thought, you know, yeah. next Magic Johnson, next LeBron James, if he doesn't develop something else offensively, he's probably going to find himself in a rocky relationship with this town.
Rocky relationship. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay, 610-632-0975. If you are up early with us on the YouTube channel, just search 97.5 The Fanatic. You get us up on YouTube once, and it will just keep populating for you every single day. You have a chance to go back. Twitch.tv, we love having you too. But first up, in the linchpin today, oh yeah, Jamie Lynch has got beef.
This is the linchpin.
How about like 300 pounds of beef?
Yeah, this isn't really beef.
And I'm not talking about your trip to Wegmans.
I wouldn't really want to have this conversation face to face with this individual.
Yes.
But Jason Peters claims he wants to keep playing, but not here because he wants to chase a Super Bowl ring. Here's the bodyguard himself.
The fans deserve more than what we gave them this year, and hopefully we'll be able to bounce back with this new coach and the new staff we're going to be having. I'm going to play one more year, try to get me another ring. Probably won't be in Philly, unfortunate, but try to choose a team and try to get another ring.
That's courtesy of Jessica Versky and 6ABC over there. Nice job getting that audio. The question is, does Jason Peters not remember that he had no teams knocking down his door last year? And it took an injury and the Eagles as a safety net to continue to play?
You mean to hold up his own organization?
Yeah.
The one where he'll be a Ring of Honor guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
The one where he'll be a Hall of Famer?
Sure, yeah.
So he held up his employer?
So he thinks he's going to have offers around the league?
He may.
Will he?
He didn't last year. Going into last year, didn't, and all he did this year was play 8 injury-filled games where some you came away from, according to the experts, he looked like trash. He held an organization up for ransom when he wouldn't play another position, his natural position. I love the guy. Thank you.
And he wants to chase a ring, so that means he wants to go to a good team. Most good teams have
Andy?
Their tackles set.
That's gonna. The only thing is that it feeds. It change. I'm worried about with Jason Peters. That the last memory will be the one that I remember.
Yeah.
Because he was freaking awesome
yeah.
for his Eagles career.
He's really kind of, he's tarnishing his legacy here
a
little
bad
bit.
That was bad. What he did to this organization this year was bad. It was bad.
I thought it was.
And I'm not talking about it.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about his performance on the field, which was bad also. That was a bad look.
I said it at the time. John. You're letting the inmates run the asylum when he did it, and then the coach coming out and saying, thank you so much, thank you. He's such an unselfish guy. Man, that you know this, James. I was saying it before. That really put a crink in my
look at
the team.
I think I've said this to you guys. I've been out on Jason Peters for a while now. What he pulled didn't really change that, but my big issue was the inmates running the asylum thing that you talked about, Bob. It's so true because he had the support of the entire locker room because he's so well respected that all the players wanted him back as well, which gave him even more leverage. And you can't have that happen.
God, I can't imagine. And I'm hoping that, you know, we don't have like Bob Cooney pulled this power play at some point, you know, where he just says, you know, I may show up for work Monday or not. You know, it's gonna. I hope we don't have that kind of power play, you know, on this show.
I don't think any of us have that job security that Jason Peters had with Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie.
Even though I think Lynch could have played better at left tackle this year.
It's a shame.
You may have done better.
Yeah, he's one of my all-time favorite Eagles.
He is. He's spectacular.
And these last, like, 2 years just kind of leaves an awful taste in your mouth.
It reminds me, though, of what my mom told me before she passed. That she was telling me, she goes, I know you're going to get up there and put on a floor show, and your brother's going to get up there and boohoo when I die, when you deliver the thing. But she said, do not deliver a fake eulogy. Talk about me in reality. And so with Jason Peters, there's an entire body of work. The body of work was excellent.
Yeah.
And then it was crap. And then there was really the perfect teammate. To being a bad teammate at the end. I mean, what he did to this organization this year was bad form.
Yeah.
Bad form.
And, you know, Doug Peterson probably appreciates Jason Peters as much as anyone, but you wonder with what happened at the beginning of this season, if when they're reviewing what to do with Doug Peterson, if it... And then that Jason Peters thing happened. Yep. He might have had a pretty big hand in Doug not being here anymore.
Staples has got everything you need to start the year right, like home office furniture, the latest tech, and organizational supplies, and they're all at amazing prices. Get a fresh start this year with big savings from our friends at Staples. If you want to get in with us, you can at 610-632-0975. It does remind me, though, and you use the Lion King analogy. By the way, strong pull on Cooney's part.
I still haven't seen the live one.
The live
on Broadway
Well, they made the movie, right?
Yeah, it was on 2 weeks ago. I watched
the live animals. Haven't seen it.
Yeah,
it was live. Wait a minute,
they used live animals.
That one that I asked you about?
Yes, when I think you and I were talking on the phone when I was
though, or
I believe a lot of them were real. Egan, you would know.
I don't know.
He's our movie. I think a lot of them were real animals.
I didn't know.
How do you get a real animal?
I have no idea.
Well, they put the setting behind them, and I guess they followed animals, tigers and lions and stuff, and you implement.
How did they teach the tiger to talk?
That was the tricky part.
That took a while. It took years.
Using real animals. That's pretty. I'm looking at both of you as you're saying this, and I'm going, wait a minute. Then how did they teach Simba to... How did they
cut
sing?
Simba.
How did they sing? Simba!
Oh, okay. So, excuse me. Bad information by me. There are no real animals in The Lion King, but the film's effects seem so lifelike, swear they are.
No, they didn't. I said there's a car... Bob and I were on the phone one night, and I said there is a cartoon show on ABC right now. And Bob said, yeah, we're watching it. It's Lion King.
Love
and I'm like, that's
King.
Not Lion King. I've seen The Lion King. And he goes, no. This is the new one.
Yeah, right.
Like they needed to redo
it. These pictures look real, though.
That's exactly why.
They needed to redo it.
Yeah, when Jamie asked the question, I didn't have an answer because there's one Lion King, in my opinion, and I don't need to watch any other Lion King.
Why did that have to be redone?
Hollywood's running out of... They don't have their curve.
They've run out of ideas. Yeah. They have absolutely run out of ideas.
They put it on Broadway and everything. You thought it would be enough.
It was amazing on Broadway.
Oh, it was spectacular.
Amazing. Really, really cool.
It's spectacular.
Have you guys seen Fast and the Furious on Broadway? the car chase scenes are really good. Very believable.
Running up, holding sticks.
Really fast people.
Like with... have you seen the Finding Nemo? Like they do it at Disney. They do a...
I love it.
They do the show. But they literally have heads or they have sticks.
Yeah.
And it's excellent.
It's awesome.
And it's really excellent.
Yeah.
So you like the shows at Disney when you go to Disney also.
Well, that's my wheelhouse with my kids.
I love the show.
You know, like my youngest is your daughter's age.
Right.
My kids grew up with Lion King and everything Disney. And as I told you, we went every other year for about a 10-year span. We were going to Disney every other year. So all that stuff's like second nature,
All the songs, too. All the songs catchy. 610-632-0975 if you'd like to get in with us early on this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. The day of service. Now, in the sports world, it's too big after championship games and things like that, the day of service. We can't absolutely participate during the morning of our show. Was the day of service big in the community? Is it as big here? Atlanta is, you know, it's king country,
yeah,
as I'll say. And the King Center is something if anybody has not visited.
Yes, I have.
It's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's one of the greatest sort of, I don't know if I want to call it historical.
It makes you proud.
It does. It is a great spot when you come to Atlanta for a trip to be able to check out the King Center. I think about that today. I wonder about what he'd be thinking today.
Yeah.
I wonder what he'd be thinking.
A lot of people do.
I think his birthday's soon, right? Like, he would have just turned only 92?
91 or 92.
Yeah, like, when you think about that in the grand scheme of time, it's like, that really wasn't that long ago.
No.
If he still could be alive.
No, my mom.
If he lived a healthy life.
My
yeah.
mom and him were, I think, the same age, and she just died.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing.
That's crazy.
And you wonder the impact he could have made.
Yeah.
Had he lived. Maybe things would have been better.
Yeah, it was 15th was
better?
His birthday.
He was an amazing. It's an amazing story, and if you haven't seen it, just go to the King Center sometime.
Yeah,
if you have the opportunity.
Yeah, it is.
You wonder how things would have been. How things potentially would have been different. We got a lot coming up for you today, and we love it when you get involved. And obviously, the YouTube channel is a great way for you to be able to shower, shave in the morning, have us on in the background. I'd like to make a challenge to you. If you've got the app, if you've got the YouTube channel up, if you've got Twitch.tv up, leave it up all day. Just leave it up all day. Hang out with us all day long. Just put it on in the morning, hang out, cook breakfast, do whatever you got to do. Leave it on all day and have that app with you at all times. We love it when you were a part of the show. When we return, a huge offer that I will absolutely promise you will be a bad deal eventually. It's the John Kincaid Show. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Clock is ticking on Adam Joseph from 6ABC. I'd say I'm around 10 days out from the haircut.
Is that looking good?
Do I need to
get in touch with them to make an appointment?
We will get this together. I think Super Bowl week.
Okay.
The week leading up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Adam will do the cut because it is starting to
look. I told my wife about it. She was very intrigued.
It is flowing beautifully.
I think she like borderline wanted to come watch.
It is flowing beautifully right now. Love hair.
There's a million things in life that I can love.
I love hair.
I couldn't care less.
No, I couldn't care less
no matter my age of what my hair looked like.
Really?
No.
Well,
gosh.
you only have about 4 of them now.
Egan, you care about what your hair looks like, don't you?
No. I don't.
You are so full of it.
I don't.
I have watched you manage your hair at least 3 or 4 times in the time that I've known you. So where you
what do you mean you, manage my hair?
I've watched you manage your hair in front of a mirror multiple times.
I'm making myself
wash
look
your
good.
Hand. Wash his hands. Use a towel.
Manage his hair. You mean so if I go like this?
Yeah, you manage your hair. If you didn't care about your hair, you don't manage your hair.
Well, I don't want it to. I don't want to look like. Like also,
so you do care about your hair, so just admit
yeah.
it.
I care about it if I'm not wearing a hat. If I'm wearing a hat, I don't care.
So
and I wear a hat a lot.
How long do you spend on your hair in the morning?
Doesn't take me long at all. I wash my hair.
Roughly 3 hours.
Condition every other day with the
you
gold.
You really think about this stuff. Oh, my God.
Look, because I have a lot of gray in my hair in the salt and pepper thing. So the Redken.
So my wife uses.
Do that, and yeah. I use that. So, but I use it for the gray.
You got a little touch of gray?
Soft. Then I will get out of the thing. I've never used a hairdryer. in my life.
Yeah, because you're a man.
Did I use a hair dryer?
Yeah.
But I know dudes that do
all
the
time. Yeah, but that's not like that. You don't pound your chest over. I've never used a hair dryer.
I let my hair dry as I get dressed and everything like that. Put a little product in. Boop, and I'm done.
So how long? From start to finish?
What, hair?
Yeah.
The amount of time I spent on my hair?
Like 45 minutes.
No, 45 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Seriously, it doesn't take long.
That sounded a lot more than 45 seconds.
No, it's not. But I do need to find the...
It's well-trained, did you say?
It is well-trained.
Oh, yeah, you have to have your... Yes. No, he's right.
You have to train your hair.
Yeah, do you feel you've always had a very good head of hair?
I had a great head of hair.
So all through high school and everything, college, you had a great head of hair.
I've always had... And guess what? And I've lost my hair twice.
That's a good point.
I've had my hair fall, and my hair has changed. Every time, my hair's changed.
How do you look as a bald guy?
It did not look good.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I'm not going to have to go down that road. Like, I'm looking at two guys here who have great... When Bob does go bald one day, Jamie has a great head for being bald.
Yeah. It's a beautiful head.
Great
head.
It is a huge,
yeah, but it's a great head. You don't have crazy bumps.
Yeah.
It doesn't stick up like Commissioner Silver.
No, it's melon
mind. It's a great head.
My buddies from high school I was talking with recently, they're all starting to lose it, and they were like, you know, you don't really have to deal with this. And I was like, welcome. Come over here.
It's
fine.
Jamie has the bald athlete head for it.
Yeah.
I think of Jordan athletes. And I think of Jamie. That's Jamie. Usually how I go.
Jamal Rushmore, bald heads.
I'm glad you bring that up because we get to the NBA here. And as we begin this half hour of the show, Ben Simmons on Saturday night, again, it's 3 for 3. Now, Anthony Gargano, I'm not stepping on his territory. He's 4 for 4. The 3 for 3, though, is Ben Simmons not being able to be the man when Joel Embiid is out.
Mm.
I heard D line him yesterday here on the Fanatic talking about it, that if I'm going to have a guy who is one of my cornerstone pieces, he must be a scorer. You're not going to win if you're one of your cornerstone pieces is not a scorer. And Bob, it frustrates the hell out of me now, that because the only way, the word that comes to mind with Ben Simmons is timid. Comes to mind with me. His offensive game is timid. I'm not saying he's a scaredy cat. I'm not saying he's not physical. He's afraid. I'm saying timid. His offensive game is timid.
He knows his limits to a point where I agree with you, John, that it's making him timid. I totally agree with you. He's bashful to shoot. There's something there in that mind. We've talked about it over and over again. There's something in that mind that won't allow him to shoot. Now, I saw something, I think it was on Twitter this weekend, where it was showing highlights of him playing in the summer league his first year with the Sixers. And I was there. And shooting jumps. Jamie, were you guys there then?
In Vegas?
His first summer league?
Yeah.
Shooting jump shots? Shooting off the dribble?
Oh, I saw a tape on Twitter going around this weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
He had no hesitation, was pulling up
from
anywhere.
So Brett Brown broke him?
I don't know. But Brett Brown went on record, right, Jane? Over and over and over again, to a point of, if I was Ben Simmons, I would have been a little ticked off, saying, I want him to shoot the ball. I don't think Brett broke him.
I think he can only look to himself for his problems. I mean, seeing that summer league footage that went around Twitter this weekend, I was just kind of like, damn. That's why we all thought there was that next step, because we saw it. You know, it's summer league. It is what it is. But that was our first glimpse into him. And our first glimpse was him shooting 15, 18 footers without a problem, getting to the rim at will, and showing that generational, and I do that in air quotes, talent. And it just disappeared. And I can't put that on a coach. That's on him.
Is it, Bob, I question the dog in him. And I don't question his effort because he's a hard worker, but hard work is supposed. I don't think you're working correctly. You can work hard and not work productively.
Sure.
I mean, Pat's nodding his head. That's been your career, right?
That's 1,000%. I've worked hard. It just hasn't been advantageous.
And then you see, but I think people can work hard, but they can. They cannot work productively, because if he puts in as many hours in the gym as people say he does, and people talk about how hard a worker he is, then I have no idea why I don't see more results in year five.
Well, here's a couple of things. One, the things that he's working on, a lot of times it drives me crazy. Is he going to do that in a game? Is he going to be a standstill here? I'll catch, like, all right, we've all seen it 100 times. Before games, in the gym, him catching the ball and throwing up threes. Oh, wow, that looks good. Is he really going to do that in a game? Are you practicing something you're not going to do? Well, it's like me getting in a line practicing trying to dunk. Like, I'm not going to do that in the game. Why am I trying to do it? I agree with you. Some of the here's an example I'll give you, too. When Lou Williams was here with the 76ers, and he got into the habit where he was pump faking every time he caught the ball. I mean, he was waiting for people to come in so he could pump fake and then shoot off the dribble because that's what he felt more comfortable doing. He and I are talking in the locker room sometimes. I said, man, you really love that pump fake. I was kind of trying to say, like, why do you pump fake so much? And he said, yeah, I got to work on that. I'm doing it way too much. He went into a gym, and I'm not kidding you, thousands at that. And he and I kidded with each other. He'd be in the gym. He's like, look, Coon, I can just shoot. And he would grab and just shoot and shoot and shoot. He got into a bad habit, but he broke it out of work. Ben Simmons has so many bad offensive habits. I don't know why he can't break them.
Yeah, I think he's been enabled a little bit by the old coaching staff that he doesn't have to break them. And I think he's tried a little. I do believe he has tried. There's a mental block. Part of the issue, though, is what we saw the last game they played against Memphis. He takes a three, he airballs it, and immediately you go on social media and he's being ripped apart.
That plays a role in this.
And it does, because he's obviously self-conscious about his jump shot and taking shots. That's clear. So when he finally takes it, instead of us going, okay, well, hey, at least you took it. No, he's getting ripped apart by everybody.
Wait. Is Egan suggesting to me, Jamie, that we need to be softer in our approach?
Yes.
Yes,
we need to coddle athletes, yes.
No, we don't need to coddle athletes.
Yes, we do. Sorry to tell you, in this day and age, we need to coddle athletes.
Yeah, no, it's not a coddling thing, but I think it plays a role.
Sounds like coddling to me.
I think we're fine. I think the way we've handled it is fine. He's in year five, and it's really not that. It's almost worse nationally, because as soon as he airballs that three the other night, I go on House of Highlights and Bleacher Report and all these Instagram accounts, and it's like, oh, Ben Simmons airballed a three. And like, people can't wait to pile on him. And I think the fear of him being embarrassed on a national level, in a way, prevents him from doing it more often. Because I love that he just ripped it the other night.
Shaq's brought it up before on our podcast, is the idea that he doesn't believe that Brett Brown's staff was holding him accountable to change up his game.
Well, here's the funny thing, too, and a point I wanted to bring up. Like, when he was drafted first overall, and be honest with yourselves, because I thought about this all weekend, where did scoring come into play as far as what you needed from Ben Simmons?
Third.
Right?
I thought about this.
And I'm not, look, I'm not being a wise ass. I'm like, with Ben Simmons, I think his worst games are happening now because you don't have a Seth Curry around him. You didn't have Tobias Harris. You didn't have Joel Embiid. Like, he needs those guys to be the best player that he can be, and that's a fast-breaking, passing, rebounding, score on dribble drives when teams aren't clogging a lane, which those other players help you to do. But as far as the scoring goes, yes, I think he should be a 20-point-a-game guy, but that probably wasn't real high on the list of what you needed from him when you drafted him, or expected.
Bob Cooney believes that this man isn't really feeling the love right now. Pat Egan just talked about coddling athletes. Do we have to coddle executives, too? Let's wander over to the corner.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
Josh McDaniels.
Executives?
You know, it's so funny. We're talking about, coddling or being hard. Like, Carson got to where he is because he was coddled, but now should we coddle Ben? It's so crazy. Everybody should just be a tough coach, but the tough coach you shouldn't get. Howie, listen up. You're not loved right now among fans. As a matter of fact, many of them think you should have been gone already. Do not hire a Josh McDaniels because it may cause a storming of the NovaCare complex. I mean, honestly, are you bringing, especially after this weekend of what we've heard about Carson Wentz, the reason you would bring in a Josh McDaniels appears to be to try to fix Carson Wentz. Isn't that how all this trouble started, that everybody's coddling and giving in to Carson Wentz?
And Egan is advocating for coddling today.
Yeah, and
I got to clear that up when he's done, all right?
The fact that...
Coddler.
Here's a guy that just has so many black marks on his resume. The cheating, the not doing what he was supposed to do.
Not accepting a
drafting
job that he took.
That's horrible. I mean, that really is. That's I'm bigger than the world, Bill Belichick type of thinking. I don't think you need that in here now. I really don't. And if Howie decides to go this route, I don't think he's going to get many more fans on his side.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a popular hiring at all. And that's not to say it's not the right hire. Because, look, if you go back, there's the Eagles tweet from when Doug Peterson was hired, I guess, what, 5 years ago, 4 years ago? And the comments under it are hilarious.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to quit being an Eagles fan. This is an embarrassing day for the franchise. I'm disgusted. And that guy ended up winning you a Super Bowl. So I don't personally want McDaniels because of everything we've laid out here this morning. But if he were to be hired, that doesn't mean it's not the right hire. So I'm kind of...
Howie strikes again.
Yeah, I'm kind of at a crossroads with this coaching thing because I just... You know, I have guys that I like and I want. Like Brian Daboll, now that the Chargers job's taken, I think he's a great candidate. And I think Joe Brady's enticing as well. But, like, if McDaniels is hired, he might be the best guy. We don't know. They don't know. It's a crapshoot.
Sure. This is why we are going to have a ledger book, Egan. Where people are going to... Because I know there's going to be a ton of revisionist history on so many stories that we deal with on this show.
Sure, it's a great idea.
We are going to hold everybody accountable. And you have a lot of fun when you go back and
I bet.
Check that ledger book.
Well, first of all, I think out of the whole show, nobody Cold Takes exposes themselves more than me. I mean, I have a long list of
things. Well, I've heard some of your takes, so I would expect it would
be
you.
Yeah, and I got to clear up the coddling thing when you get a chance. But I do not want Josh McDaniels for every reason that everyone said. But as I said a little earlier, you know, there are a lot of people that didn't want the guy that brought you a Lombardi trophy. And this is after a very popular hire in Chip Kelly. Look, you didn't want him, but I can tell you, it was popular. Like, when they got Chip Kelly, it was supposed to be this innovative coach, and there weren't a ton of people yourself that didn't want
him. I bought Oregon gear.
And you know why? And I'll tell you why, and I'm going to take a shot at my hometown. Because the college football discussion in this city, even on sports radio, the knowledge level is extremely low.
Well, yeah,
it's extremely low.
Let's get
people
clear.
Don't follow it.
There's two college football teams in the city of Philadelphia: Penn State, Notre Dame. That's it. And this is coming from a guy who has Temple season tickets. Like, I love Temple football. I wish we talked about it more. But for the most part, when it comes to college football coverage in this city, it's Temple or it's Penn State and it's Notre Dame.
Talking about it. It's just the knowledge that I hear.
But I'm saying that leads to the knowledge. The fact that people only pay attention to Penn State and the Big Ten and Notre Dame football leads to the fact that you just hear about the innovative offense of Oregon's Chip Kelly. You don't actually watch it or think, how will this translate to the NFL?
Mm. By the way, my tweet was 2617. Well, this is just one of them on Chip Kelly. Save this tweet. Chip Kelly won't be a spineless do-boy OC for anyone. Hire him and it won't be a good fit. I've long thought this guy was a problem. We'll see, though. We're all going to be accountable on this show.
All right.
And it'll be fun because when you go back and you read them, it's awesome.
I bet. What the hell was I thinking that day?
But you know what, though? It's fun.
Well, in that ledger book would have been, I thought Jahlil Okafor was a can't-miss, you know, next center in the league type of guy. So
that's what happens.
Going to have to go back and read things like that. Don't make me do it, John.
Poor Jahlil.
And I put out on January 18th, 2016... when Doug Peterson was hired, the same media guys who lapped up Chip Kelly's smoothies are selling hard against Doug Peterson. With their track record, wait to judge. Hashtag learn.
Yeah.
I just retweeted that so people could read it again.
Wow.
You can see that. Hey, Citadel Credit Union is committed to building strength together to build a better future for us all. Join us at CitadelCU.com. Now the question is, did we fool San Francisco twice? Are they going to just have to, they're going to have to deal with Mr. Manscaped. waxing your eyebrows, Gabe, and fake tans and everything. Like,
he just physically is presenting beautifully right now.
Like, my baseball manager cannot fake bake. My baseball, you're out in the sun all day long. My baseball manager cannot get his brows waxed.
That's probably not all he got waxed.
Joe Girardi does not get his brows waxed.
No.
Joe Girardi does not have time to lay in a fake bake.
When Joe Girardi eats ice cream, he eats it.
He swallows it.
Unbelievable. I mean, seriously, it gets terrible.
The manager that eats his ice cream.
By the way, there is no cash contest today in honor of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, but hopefully you will be with us tomorrow at 8 a.m. so you can get back in on it, because there is no cash contest today. Your chance to win $500 all day long tomorrow. There will be plenty of opportunities for you to be able to do that. So, Pat Egan.
Hello. I'm here.
Caller, you're on the air. You think, now this falls right into the coddling discussion.
Yeah,
so
I need to clear this up.
I want you to, first off, clear up coddling.
Yeah.
Then I want you to explain this topic.
Yeah, so the coddling
thing.
And I think
it's more coddling.
Yeah, coddling was probably the wrong word choice because coddling lends to you don't shoot, patting on them on the back. It's okay. You don't need to shoot. And I don't think that's the case. I think that he does need to add a mid-range game. And I think that there's areas that his game needs to improve on. My problem is when he finally tries or attempts to improve those and he gets ridiculed for it. And to Jamie's point, yeah, it's probably more mainstream, you know, national media, but there is a contingent of the fan base that no matter what this guy does, he's going to get ripped for it. And that leads to a tweet that I saw this weekend that got a little bit of traction saying that, why is Philadelphia turned on Ben Simmons so quickly? And it got me thinking, and I'm a Ben Simmons guy, but look, I mean, he's got areas in his game he needs to improve, but we were so patient with Joel Embiid. We waited 2 years for this guy to hit the court. Wasn't like he was the perfect player, by the way. I mean, the conditioning is horrible. You heard that he was immature, but we kind of let that slide because of the fact that his personality was infectious. With Ben Simmons, it was like he was the anointed one from the get-go, and everybody was excited when they got that ping pong ball and it said number one overall pick, Philadelphia 76ers, and they were getting Ben Simmons. But for whatever reason, it seems like we're not patient enough to let his game develop, but with Joel Embiid, we were. And I can't help but think that he's going to be blamed for the James Harden trade or the lack of a James Harden trade, which he had nothing to do with. But the fact that he wasn't included in it, fans will look at what James Harden's doing and revile Ben Simmons because he's not James Harden.
I don't owe you patience.
Yeah,
I don't know any athlete patience.
I was just going to say, you're
a fan. You're a fan.
I am.
That's fanatic.
That's the station
that
you work for.
That's the station. A fanatic does not owe anybody patience. A fanatic, more importantly, doesn't have to worry about kissing backside of high-paid athletes to make sure that they feel loved and cuddled and comfortable.
And there was
Let's
a quote:
"Get him a nice little pillow, and we can just cuddle right up."
There was a quote this weekend from an Eastern Conference executive that went kind of viral, and it was like, "Ben Simmons offensively is the same player he is as he entered the league." So you know, you say like patience. My patience is wearing out.
Yeah,
because Where's the next step? His offensive game has not improved since he's entered the league. His defense has gotten better. His court vision has probably gotten better. His free throw percentage, you know, baby stepped up 3-4 percentage points. His offensive game is the exact same as when he came into
the
league. You're
1,000% right, and I just want to preface this by saying he has had, what, 1 month with Doc Rivers in this coaching staff. Sam Cassell is currently working with him to improve his offensive game.
And he's probably on pace for his lowest points per game
total. Okay, but I'm just saying, like, let's give it some time with a new coaching staff. This is why I truly think that if Mike Trout was in this town, there would be people that didn't like Mike Trout because he never
No, Mike Trout's perfect.
No,
Ben Simmons is far from perfect.
You mean to tell me that in Philadelphia...
Wait. You're off the rails. You are literally off the rails.
Yeah,
no, I'm not.
You just mentioned Ben Simmons and Mike Trout.
My point
in the
is
same
no. You're taking it out of context. My point
no,
is
I'm
in
not.
This town, for whatever reason, when we have a good thing, we don't appreciate the
not.
Good thing. And if we
no.
had yeah, if we had Mike Trout in this town
dude,
right now, there
ridiculous.
Would be people that
dude,
said he doesn't win.
Dude, you're absolutely absurd.
I'm
if
not.
We, no. If we had when you Mike first of all, don't ever bring Mike Trout into a conversation
yeah.
with Ben Simmons.
You're taking it out
no,
of
I'm
context.
Not taking
yes,
it out
you
of context.
Are.
I'm not
you
at
are.
All.
So when Jamie, when you say his offensive game hasn't gotten any you specifically mean scoring. Because you said
yes,
his court
passing,
vision's
yes,
better
his
and
scoring.
All that stuff.
So that's the better word for it.
Yeah. So I
there's no reason
you.
In the world he can't average 20 or 21 points a game in this league.
Yes, there is.
Yes, there is. And we're seeing
it's
it.
All him.
Yes.
It's all him.
He averaged 19 a game for a really, really bad LSU team. He was the only player on that team. I don't. I expect Simmons.
He was also a
19,
freshman,
20, yeah,
amongst upperclassmen. You know.
Yeah. I don't know if his scoring. Maybe we were looking for too much for his scoring.
Then you can't be the number two of a championship team.
We were looking for too much out of the number one pick in the draft.
No, I'm not saying that. We were looking for him to change his game. I mean,
can you be a cornerstone piece?
I'm not defending. I'm just putting it out there for thought. Like, was scoring the highest thing up there when you took him as the number one draft pick? No, it was probably, as John said, third or so.
I was spirited. I love that. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. If you'd like to join in the discussion here on the John Kincaid Show. Lots coming up, including why I think the Eagles coaching search is bass ackwards. We'll get to that on the John Kincaid Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. I love the home teams. That's where I get this great passion for them. And you can hear it on this show. We all do. But I love that Parx Casino Sportsbook app, too. What a great thing about returning to Pennsylvania, being able to wager on sports legally right from my devices with the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. And what can I do? I can wager in-game. I love that. It brings a whole new dimension to watching games that maybe you don't have that rooting interest in a team, because everybody can enjoy themselves with Parx Casino Sportsbook app. Easy deposits, great odds, outstanding customer service, and new customers only. Download the app. You're going to get a risk-free bet up to $500. Use the promo code FANATIC to be able to do that. Your risk-free bet will be refunded in site credit. See the website for terms and conditions. Now, remind you, bet with a home team. My guys, the Parx Casino Sportsbook app, the home team sportsbook app. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.